You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
We are in our series called He Is, and we're continuing to look at the names of God. And I've said it every week that names are so, so important. And you can remember this as you have named your kids. If you have kids, you took so much time naming your children. You wanted to know what the names meant. You want to know if you knew anybody that had that same name, because you can't name your child after someone that you knew that you didn't like to have that name. But a lot of times we live up to the characteristics that are found in our name. When our name means so, such and such, we tend to live up to those characteristics. And a lot of you named your children hoping that they would eventually live up to those attributes and those characteristics. And so we look at Scripture and we see that God has revealed Himself in many different names. And I'm here to tell you this morning that they're not by accident in the Scripture. They're not just random names that He's given to Himself, but each one of these names are meaningful and are powerful, and they reveal His attributes and who He is. And so when we learn these names, the powerful thing is it opens up our relationship, and we can go much more deeper in our relationship with God by knowing His name. And our key verse that's at the top of your outline today is found in Psalm 9:10, and here on the screen as well. But we've been focused on this Scripture. This has been the basis for all of our studies that we've been talking about over these last several weeks. But it says this: those who what? Those who know your name, right? Look at it. It says, those who know your name. Those who know your name do what? They trust in you. That's how powerful it is. Those who know your name, God, put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So my prayer is, as we learn these names, as we've been going through these, and you've heard the same introduction if you've been with me over these last few weeks, is that we, as we put our trust, as we know His name, we would begin to put our trust in Him, and our relationship with Him would grow even deeper and even more meaningful as we walk through life. And so today we're going to talk about another name of God. And I thought this was perfect because we had planned communion this morning, and we're going to spend time remembering what Jesus has done for us. It's Palm Sunday. I mean, everything is just great. And I thought, oh, this is perfect, because we study the names of God and we look at the different names. And it's perfect as we pause and think about what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through His resurrection, that we look at this certain name today. And even a moment ago in our prayer, we've been praying through this and talking about that. And we're going to see today how Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament name that we're going to talk about this morning. But let me catch you up. You see the name on your outline, so you're already ahead of me, I know. But last week we talked about the name Elohim, okay? And so that was a personal name that God gave, and we talk about this word El, and it means mighty God, that God gave this name to Abraham, and it was, they believed this was the covenant name of God. But we've also been studying the other name that God gave to Moses, which is Yahweh, and we come to Jehovah from this one. And what we learn from these names is that God is wants a covenant relationship. I'm going to keep writing up here, and then you guys can't read this. I'm just kind of looking at the board. I'm writing up here. It's awesome. But we know this is I Am, right? This was the personal name of God that He gave to us. We know this meant mighty God. That's not right. Here we go. Mighty God. There. They make fun of my handwriting in the office. But Elohim, Yahweh, and Jehovah. So we're looking at this name of this covenant name of God, that He wants a relationship with us, a personal relationship. That's what we've learned over these weeks as we've talked about the name of God, as we begin to learn the name of God. So this morning we're going to look at another name that goes with Jehovah. And here is the name. I'm going to put up several versions of it here. In your outline you have one, but here's the full that you may see in your Bibles as well. Rofika, Jehovah Rofika. And as you look at this first part, I'm going to put a line there. You have Jehovah Rophi, and some Bibles you have it translated into R-A-P. That was good. R-A-P-H-A. Rapha, okay? So we have this name Jehovah Rophi. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. Now, this name Jehovah Rophi, It means several different things, and it's awesome. When you see this, the root, and you see the verb used of this word, but it means to heal. It means to cure. It means to restore. And watch this. Check this out. Not only does it mean heal, cure, and restore, but it also means, I'm getting low now, it means to make whole. And that's a whole different view of this word, Jehovah Rophi. It means to make whole. The verb that of that Rophi there, R-O-P-H-E, occurs over about 67 times in the Old Testament. It often, you've heard Jehovah Rophi as God my healer. It refers to physical healing, of course, but it also has a much broader, a much bigger meaning as we read through it in the Old Testament. As you look at that make whole definition of the word, as you look through the scripture, it talks about physical healing, but it has this larger meaning as well. It's talking about impacting the entire person, not just the physical, but the entire person. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But the Hebrew verb is also used in other ways. We see the word used that God heals water, that God heals land, that God heals nations, that they even use the word that God repairs an altar, that we see God heals sin. We see the word used. So we see that the name Jehovah Rophi leads us ultimately to the work of Jesus on the cross. And what an amazing name of God as we start this week leading up to Easter weekend. So I want to start this morning by looking at the Old Testament passage where we see this revealed the first time. You can turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. That's where we're going to start. Exodus chapter 15 is where we're going to begin in YouVerse and all those different things. But I want to show you as we begin to look at Exodus 15 and begin to look at this name that's revealed to us in the Old Testament. Let me give you some background before we dive in to the words there. Let me remind you of what's happening with the children of Israel up to this point. Okay? They had just left Egypt. Like they had been in slavery and bondage of Egypt. And God, through Moses, is bringing them out of Egypt. And they promised to be delivered. And Moses is gone. And they're now delivered. He led them out of Egypt. And right after they leave Egypt, they hit their first roadblock, right? It's called the Red Sea. It's right there. They can't go in. They have Pharaoh and his armies coming behind them. They have the Red Sea right in front of them. And that's a huge, huge issue, right? But God, in that moment, does an amazing miracle for the children of Israel. And he parts the Red Sea, right? And they walk through on dry land. I see the Ten Commandments. Every time I think about this, that movie with Charlton Heston. They're walking through on dry land, right? And as soon as they get done going through, Pharaoh and the armies, they try to chase after, and the waters crash down on the armies of Egypt, right? This is a huge deal. I mean, that's amazing. All these people walking through on dry land. And if you look just above, we're going to be in verse 22, you see there in Exodus 15. But if you look just above this in chapter 15, you see as they moved ahead, you see them praising God. Aaron's sisters praising God, and they're singing the praises to the Lord for all he's done. And now we're moving ahead 3 days. 3 days from all that stuff happening, all right? 3 days more wandering in the wilderness. Check this out. Verse 22, right there on the screen and in your outline. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Now, you know that's a problem. You need water when you're traveling in the desert. You can get thirsty, right? When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. Marah means bitter. If you even think back, if you were here last Sunday, we talked about Naomi who called herself bitter. She said, call me Marah, that which means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, right? 3 days, we're in the desert, we're thirsty. What are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Then the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them to put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. There it is, Jehovah Rapha. Now then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So they went from Mara to Elim. Now we know that as we learn the story of the children of Israel, they wandered ultimately for 40 years in the wilderness. That they went through 40 years of wandering. Can you believe that? 40 years. And what's interesting is you look at the children of Israel as they've gone through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, that they often went through the same cycle over and over and over again. They went through the same cycle that we see illustrated even in these verses right here. And so I want to show you this cycle that the children of Israel kept going through over the 40 years that they're wandering. And I want to see, where are you? Because I've found that a lot of times in my life, I find myself in one of these areas in this cycle. So where do you find yourself? And you can write these in your blanks in your notes. Number one, the first area of the cycle is abundance. This is where the people of God look up. God has proven himself faithful, and they begin to look up in praise. We see that at the beginning of this passage. This is the first part, the verses before that I mentioned in chapter 15, where Israel is celebrating all that God has done for them. They are looking up. They are praising the Lord. He's been faithful. They are in abundance. They are worshiping, right? It says they worship with tambourines. If you look back at the beginning of the chapter, they're worshiping with tambourines. And I thought that was interesting. They're worshiping with tambourines. Where did the tambourines come from? I mean, if you look back to when they were leaving Egypt, he's like, be ready to go at a moment's notice. Grab just only the essentials and get ready to leave, because we're going to leave as soon as God gives us okay. We're going to get out of Egypt. And so evidently tambourines were the essential list. I don't know. So it's just my crazy mind. Anyway, so they have tambourines that are worshiping the Lord. Right? They are excited for what God has done. That's the beginning of the cycle. Abundance. Abundance is there. Then it leads into the second part of the cycle. Number two, expectation. Abundance leads into expectation. When you are in the middle of abundance from God, you naturally begin to expect continued abundance. All right, so here's the children of Israel. They had abundance. You know, the Red Sea stuff happens. It's like, awesome. So they are in this expectation mode. That's what they're doing in our passage. The Israelites begin to look ahead, right? Instead of looking up, they're looking ahead in anticipation. And if we're not careful in life, we can take this step and begin to believe that the abundance we are experiencing is our right. That's something we deserve. That abundance that God's given to us is for us. And see, they, in our passage, expected that the miracles would continue and that they would always be comfortable, that they would always be safe, that they would always be satisfied. That's what the Israelites, they just thought that's how it was going to go. We're always going to be this way. The Red Sea happened. 3 days later, they had no thought or anticipation that the abundance that they just had experienced, that abundance train would come to a screeching halt in 3 days. 3 days. That leads us to number three, the third area of this cycle. And maybe you fit in one of these areas. After abundance, after expectation, the expectation leads us into our third step, which is disappointment. Disappointment. The people of God begin to look down. They weren't looking up anymore. They weren't looking ahead. They started to look down. They begin to look at their circumstances. It's 3 days. I'm thirsty. Where's the water? We're wandering in the wilderness, Moses, for 3 days, and there's no water. What's going on? We're thirsty. And they finally find the water, and it's bitter to drink. We found the water that we need to drink, and it's bitter. I can't even drink this stuff. It makes the situation worse, right? Like you're sitting there looking at the water and you can't drink it. So you begin to get even more mad at what God's doing and even more disappointed. It's like those people, if you're stranded in the middle of the ocean and you're thirsty and you can't drink anything. Their frustration led them to disappointment. And that leads us to number four in the cycle that we see the children of Israel in. The disappointment led to complaints. It led them to complaints. They began to complain and grumble. And when that happens, they're not looking down anymore. They start looking back. They start looking back at easier days, right? The days when things were good. And they started comparing, what is it like in Egypt to compare it to now? When we were slaves in Egypt, they begin to look back. The disappointment leads to complaints. But you know what's amazing in this cycle that you see with the children of Israel? And a lot of times we find ourselves in this area as well. Number five, it brings us to provision. And provision comes because of grace. You see, the provision that we often experience from God isn't something that we deserve. And a lot of times isn't something we understand. But in the middle of our complaining, God steps in and provides us what we need. The children of Israel began to look around and see the provision that God was providing. God shows Moses a tree in our text. And he throws it in the water. And the water became sweet to drink. It became drinkable all of a sudden. That in the midst of their complaining, the provision came. The provision came. Verse 26 is something I want to show, kind of key in on here. We can see almost that God is showing us what we need to learn from history in this verse 26. He says, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, Jehovah Rophi. It's like God told the children of Israel in these verses, he said, if you walk with me, I'll surround you with my protection. Jehovah Nissi, I'll be your banner, I'll be your standard. You'll be tested, but I promise I'll come through with every provision that you may need. Right? We talked about El Shaddai last week. I won't say yes to your greed, but I will satisfy all your needs. Jehovah Jireh, right? It's our provider. So, can you relate? There's a cycle that happens all the time. Do you find yourself somewhere in that cycle this morning? Have you been, since we're talking about Jehovah Rophi, who makes us whole, who heals, maybe you're sitting in a place where there's a healing that you've been waiting for, and you're somewhere in that cycle and you're just giving up because it's just not happening for you. Are you looking this morning for the wholeness that only Jehovah Rophi can bring to you? Are you longing for that? Are you looking for that? Because Jehovah Rophi, God who heals, he makes us whole. He makes us whole. And I want to show you the next few moments that Jehovah Rophi, who healed in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, we see being fulfilled in Jesus, who healed in the New Testament and even heals today. It's a perfect message as we step to communion. As we begin to think about Jesus being the fulfillment of Jehovah Rophi in the Old Testament, that Jesus has come in the New Testament, I want to look back to even why Jesus came. And then we're going to talk about some different ways that Jesus and God, Jehovah Rophi, will make you whole today. When Jesus came to the earth, he healed the sick, the blind, the lame, and even more than that, he healed the hearts of the people. He brought them back into right relationship with God. People who were separated from God under God's wrath because of sin, Christ came and reconciled them through his death and resurrection on the cross. Or death on the cross and resurrection 3 days later. He healed the terminal sickness of our souls and brought us back to God. That was the most important thing. And so above everything, I thank God that he still heals us in that way today. And I look back to the life of Jesus and his ministry, and he began by telling us that he was the healer that they knew from the Old Testament. Look, in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, this is Jesus starting in his ministry, stopping and reading on the Sabbath day from Isaiah. Look what he says. He says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. It is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And as you begin to read through even this very chapter in Luke, you begin to see the various acts of healing that are recorded that Jesus began to perform. And this is just the beginning. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Speaking of Jesus. So Jehovah Rophi, the God who heals, the God who makes us whole, our whole being who comes and makes us whole. I want to show you that there are three areas that we can be made whole, no matter where you find yourself on that cycle that we talked about just a moment ago. That in three different areas, we can find healing through Jehovah Rophi, through Jesus. Let's talk about it. Number one, the first area I see as we look at Jehovah Rophi, the God who makes us whole through Jesus Christ. Jesus provides physical healing. Physical healing. This is one that we talked about earlier and we even prayed about just a few moments ago in our prayer time. That there are physical needs that we face in our lives. That we have physical issues that we come in contact with. And there are tons of questions that people always ask when we begin to talk about physical healing. A lot of questions that come up. Is sickness, does it come from sin? Does God heal everything? Should I trust doctors to help me? Should I even see a doctor? And when we face physical issues and physical pains and physical problems, it can become this incredibly discouraging and devastating issues that we often face in our lives. We have physical issues. And I would say that even though we don't have answers to all of those questions that we're talking about right there, we can trust in Jehovah Rophi. We can trust in Jesus. Even let's go back to Jehovah Rophi, the name of God. There are multiple examples in the Old Testament where he healed people. Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20, verse 4. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will what? Heal you. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. 15 years. But it doesn't stop there in the Old Testament. It continues throughout whole scripture that we do see that God cares about our physical needs that we're facing. The physical issues that we go through. That God does heal. That through our relationship with Jesus, we can be healed physically this morning. Why? Because he carried the curse of sin and sickness with him. And he finished the work on the cross and through his resurrection. If you look at Matthew chapter 8, back to the ministry of Jesus, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So people ask, sickness, what's all about? Why is there sickness and all this stuff in our bodies and in the world? Well, it's a result of sin in the world. I mean, we live in a broken world. I mean, that's the most basic of the answers that you can get. Why is there sickness in the world? Because we have sin. It was part of the judgment of death that came when man sinned. It was just the deal that came into the world. But I know this. Jesus came to set us free from this curse. Through the work of Jesus on the cross, sickness and death would no longer reign in the world. That through Jesus, through Jehovah Rophi, through his work on the cross, we can have freedom from this. Well, that sounds great, Mark. Yeah, that's good. You read some nice verses. I understand the pushback. Well, he hasn't healed me yet today. Does he still heal, you know, today? Why don't we see all the healings in the church that we did? Why doesn't it happen like you just read in the scripture? I don't know. But I will tell you this. I will tell you that this morning that I know Jehovah Rophi desires that you are whole in your life, that he wants to make you whole. And that wholeness involves physical healing. Now, his timing, it's God's timing. I don't know. But I knew as I read through scripture, We even read in James 5, God teaches the sick to call the elders of the church to pray over them so they may be healed. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. See, certainly, I understand that healing is at the discretion of God, Jehovah Rophi. And I've come to realize that not everyone receives physical healing in this life. Sin is in the world. But let me tell you this. I read through Romans chapter 8, verse 11. There is hope that's found. It says this. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. You see, I believe that our God is a healer. He is Jehovah Rophi. He makes you whole. He heals you. I believe in praying for physical healing. I believe God wants to heal everyone. He heals, cures, restores, makes my whole person whole. Our God is a healer. The first thing I see through, even through the work of Jesus in the New Testament, is that God heals us in our physical bodies. Number two, Jesus provides emotional healing. Not only physical healing, but God provides emotional healing as well. Look, I understand we can go through roller coaster of life in our emotions. We are up and we're down. We can have good days and bad hair days. I understand that. And this real moments that we have, that our emotions are all over the place. The mental states sometimes go crazy. And I know that through life we can deal with incredible issues that often cripple us, and it's hard to make it through. And sometimes we have to talk to counselors. I found that there are professionals that are very good at helping us work through our emotional state and talking about what's going on inside. It's even helped me in my life. I found that it's great to have a place like that. But I will say there are some of you in this place that are going through that cycle. And it's not a physical healing that you've been going up against with God, but it's an emotional healing that you need. There are mental issues. And it can be quite overwhelming. I understand that. And you had thought that Jehovah Rophi, when we talked about God who heals me, it's all about physical healing. You had no idea. He said, well, he's talking about physical healing this morning. He's not talking about the things that I'm facing. It can't have anything to do with emotional healing. What Jesus did on the cross has nothing to do with the mental and the emotional things that I'm going through right now today. And I'm here to say that because of what Jesus did through the cross, that Jehovah Rophi can come and you can experience healing in this area as well. Psalm 147 verse 3 says this, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted. Matthew 11, the words of Jesus are incredible. You know these words. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Some of you, you're in this room, and the honest thing is you feel that way today. Your emotional pain is so overwhelming. We just need someone to understand. We just need someone to care. We sometimes just need someone to listen to us, to acknowledge what's going on. And the good news is I'm here to tell you that Jehovah Rophi can make you whole in this area as well. He can heal emotional pain. That because of Jesus and what Jesus has done, that we can be made whole in this area. That Jesus offers peace to those who come to him. That Jesus wants you to be emotionally whole this morning. See, I believe that we can find physical healing. Jehovah Rophi, God who heals, makes us whole. I believe we can find emotional healing. The third thing I think, not think I know, through Jehovah Rophi, the most important of these areas is that Jesus provides spiritual healing. Let me just say that this area of spiritual healing is the most important of the three areas of healing that we are looking at this morning. Jehovah Rophi sees that we are spiritually sick and provides healing and wholeness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. that through that sacrifice, we can be made whole and be made right with our Creator. The reality that we can't get around. The reality is this. Our diagnosis is bad. Our prognosis is terminal in spiritual area of our life, in the spiritual area. That without Jesus, we are terminal. We have an incurable condition of the human heart that we even see recorded in Jeremiah's word. He writes it in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Without Jehovah Rophi healing us in the spiritual area, we are incurable. We in this room are sinners who have been inflicted with the disease of death and sin and destruction, and we have been separated from God, and we need a new heart. Because of our sin, did you understand? Because of our sin, we have placed ourselves in opposition to Yahweh, in opposition to Elohim, whichever name. We have placed ourselves in opposition to Jehovah Rophi. We have set ourselves in his way and said, I oppose you. Because we are sinners. Because we are sinners. But this is Jehovah Rophi, the God who makes us whole, and that we have a cure through Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing as we begin. We have a cure. We have been, we can be made whole again through Jesus. Jesus said himself, Luke 4:18, we read it earlier. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Freedom that we who have set ourselves in opposition to God can be made free today. We can be made free this morning. And this is our biggest issue. Look, I understand that physical issues are huge. That anywhere we find ourselves in the cycle, physical issues, they're huge. Emotional healing is huge. But this is the biggest. That we would have a right relationship with God again. That we could be made brought back into the family of God again. That we could be made new again. Once we are set free spiritually, Jesus can come and break every other bond that we have. There Jehovah Rophi can come and begin to minister in those different areas. He is first of all concerned with curing the sin problem that we all have in our lives this morning. God gives him himself, he gives himself the name, Jehovah Rophi, the God who heals. Why? Because he knows that if we don't always learn from history, we can find ourselves in those cycle, in that cycle that we talked about. And we'll find ourselves in places somewhere along that cycle, somewhere along that place in our life, that we'll be crying out to him for wholeness. We'll be crying out for wholeness. We want to be made new again, made whole again. Sometimes it's a physical need that we're crying out for wholeness. A sickness, a disease, an injury. Other times we need emotional healing that we are crying out for the broken relationship that hurt us so bad we need help. The disappointments that come from life, we need help. But we also need spiritual healing. That when we get to this place in life where the guilt and the shame is too much to bear, that when we face this bondage of sin and we finally get to where we can admit that, God, I need you. Jehovah Rophi comes and makes me whole again. He can come. Did you know that as we look in the Old Testament Psalm, David makes a cry for these in Psalm 6, verses 2 and 3. We see it written. Here's what he says. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Here's the emotional. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. Here's the physical need. My soul is in deep anguish. We see a spiritual need. How long, Lord? How long? Jehovah Rophi is our healer today. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, you can be made whole again today. Jesus can release you from the guilt and anxiety of sin. He will bring spiritual wholeness to your life this morning. Jesus will break the curse of sickness and death. He will bring us physical wholeness today. Jesus will bring peace and joy to our lives this morning. He will restore emotional wholeness. Only Jesus. We see Jehovah Rophi working through Jesus today. We're going to come. We're going to stop and remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, the sacrifice. And I would say, which of those areas are you needing to be made whole in? Physical, emotional, spiritual. As we come to the table this morning, what is it that you need? What is it that you're asking of God and Jehovah Rophi and Jesus? What is it? What is it?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.